Call to order the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors meeting. Today is April 24, 2012. Time is 9 o'clock a.m. Everybody please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The first thing on the agenda this morning is public comment period. It's a time where anybody in the audience can address this board on any issue that is not on today's agenda. I have no specific request to speak, but is there anybody wishing to address this board? Seeing none, we'll move to consent calendar. Does any Board of Supervisors have any item they'd like to pull for a separate discussion or separate vote? Hearing none, anybody in the audience wish to comment on any consent calendar item, items marked with asterisk on the agenda? Okay, that'll be our scheduled matter here in just a few minutes. Okay. I'll look for a motion on consent calendar.
Make a motion that we approve the consent calendar.
I have a motion by Withrow.
Second.
Second by Monteith. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. Okay, it's not quite 9:05 yet, so we will move to correspondence.
This board has received a copy of the Client-Driven, Family-Focused Transformation of the Mental Health System to the California Mental Health Services Act from the Mental Health Oversight and Accountability Commission.
Refer to Behavioral Health and Recovery Services.
This board has received a public notice regarding the Claribel Road Widening Project for the intent to adopt an initial study, proposed mitigated negative declaration, environmental assessment, and Section 4F evaluation on Tuesday, May 22, 2012.
Refer to Department of Public Works.
And this board has received a notice from the California High Speed Rail Authority regarding the final environmental impact report, environment impact statement for the Merced to Fresno High Speed Train section.
Refer to Department of Public Works.
And this board has received a notice of public works for the San Joaquin Valley Unified, public workshops for the San Joaquin Valley Unified Air Pollution Control District for the draft 2012 PM2.5 plan.
Refer to Department of Environmental Resources. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports? See none. How about a Legislative Fiscal Management report, Chief Executive Office?
Yes, there is, Chair. Thank you. This week, the House of Origin, there's deadlines in the state of California to get all those bills out and put forward. This week will be extremely busy at the state capitol. The Oversight Board for the successor agency for the Stanislaus County Redevelopment Agency approved the reorganized obligation payment schedule, which is often referred to the ROPS, on April 12, 2012. Those ROPS included projects in Salida, Keys, Bret Hart, and others. The board also approved a $32 million in funding that would assist Public Works in developing the infrastructure projects, which did include projects in the Park Lawn area. State officials have yet to take action on that, and they would need to approve those ROPS as approved by our local successor agency. Last week, Governor Brown also stated that the state budget deficit could be as large as $1 billion more than the $9.2 billion that he previously thought. He will be releasing his May budget revision in mid-May, which is what they've traditionally done. The Munger Tax Initiative appears to have enough signatures to qualify for the ballot, which would somewhat inhibit the governor's initiative, and the Facebook IPO is supposed to happen sometime in May, and that could potentially mean another $2.5 billion to our state revenues. On the federal side of the House, Wednesday was the last week of the full House debate, which voted on H.R. 4348, which is that transportation bill we've been continuously discussing here, and which essentially extends the current highway and transit programs through September 30th. There was recently a 90-day extension, and what they're proposing now that this would potentially be the shell bill to go to conference with the Senate, and this is essentially a $109 billion two-year surface transportation and reauthorization bill. Probably one real concern we had is we wanted to make sure that the off-system bridge program remained intact, and currently that 90-day extension does include that. Chair, that concludes our legislative report for today.
Okay. For the time being 9:05, we'll move to public hearings. We have three of them today. We'll start with item A, approval to introduce and waive the first reading of the ordinance to amend existing fees and adopt new national pollutant discharge elimination system fees for the Department of Public Works Engineering Division. Mr. Machado.
Thank you. And good morning, Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, Ms. Nino, Mr. Doring. This morning I do have a quick presentation. The subject is a public hearing to introduce and waive the first reading of an ordinance to amend existing fees and to adopt a new NPDS fee. Let me get this fired up. And I'm not a huge color guy. I don't coordinate my colors well, but I do know what safety cone orange is. And so the backdrop for today. It actually doesn't show very well up there, but when in doubt, that's the direction I go. So a bit about our program, as we're probably aware of at this point, these services that we provide to the public cannot be paid by gas tax funds. We did a comprehensive review in 2009. It showed that our fees were quite low, that there was a deficit in our collection, and we were subsidizing it. The previous increase was in 1991. And so in 2009, we proposed a gradual fee increase over 5 years to eliminate or closely eliminate that deficit. By year five, we do expect to eliminate or almost reduce or greatly reduce that deficit. We're actually in year number four right now. The proposed increase is based on an average rate of $90 per hour. Our actual cost today is $97 per hour, so there's still a slight deficit. Actual revenues and corresponding deficit, it will vary based upon the number of permits we actually process and submit. Our proposed fees are based on average time and cost of our people in the field. Our base permit fee does include the cost for administration, some floodplain analysis, and a small component for GIS updates. Our typical flat rate is $180 for routine inspections. That covers 2-hour inspection. And then, of course, for construction inspections, we use an hourly rate, the proposed hourly rate. The big item of the day is a new fee that we're being forced to implement, and it's based upon the NPDES, National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System fees that are imposed by the state. The state program is based upon the Federal Clean Water Act and EPA regulations. It is required for discharges to surface waters comprised of stormwater associated with construction activity, which includes a lot of different activities such as demolition, clearing, grading. And the focus today is NPDES covers a lot of different areas, but the focus today is with regard to construction. And we'll see a little bit of detail on that. This construction activity, we must implement best available technology, which are economically achievable, and best conventional pollutant control technology to reduce or eliminate pollutants and stormwater runoff based upon construction activities. What's being proposed and is consistent with state law is that each project will be assessed based upon soil type and location with regard to surface waters. We will classify them into risk levels, 1, 2, and 3. And then once we understand the risk level, then we will follow with field inspections, plan review, reporting, monitoring of the construction activity. And this will be based upon actual costs, hourly rates. We will have a minimum charge with the labor rate. And we'll see those fees here in a moment. And so once the project is assessed based upon risk levels, if it's a level 1, which has a fairly low risk, We will be proposing to collect $465 and so on. Risk level 2 at 7.5 hours, risk level 3 at 9.5 hours. And what it is, the essence of this program is that the state for many, many years, the greater part of a decade, have required construction projects that are 1 acre or more to get a state permit. And that state permit goes right on the construction plans. But what the state hasn't done in the past is they haven't had a real clear monitoring and regulating program to ensure that that permit is upheld in the field. And so now what they're proposing, or what they've done, they actually adopted this this new permit for us to implement last fall. And so what they're asking now is the same permit that each construction project must obtain, we must go out and monitor and report on how the applicant is doing with regard to that state permit that they obtain. And so the process or the permit fee in general is very consistent with the past, but now it's being implemented by us on a case by case, and we have to document it. And so the vast majority of this fee will go towards us out there in the field inspecting, writing a report, and sending it to the state so they can monitor this construction activity. So with that, the recommendation is to amend existing fees and adopt the new NPDES fee. If you have any questions, be happy to answer them.
Any questions or comments? Supervisor Wetzel?
Matt, just real quick. So this, what is it, the NPDES permit, this is something that we have to do. It's not something that we have an option. This isn't our idea. This is state and federal.
That is correct. It's state primarily, and we really don't have a choice. Of course, if we didn't implement it, we would run the risk of the state coming after us as the responsible agency. So there'd be some risk and liability involved if we don't implement it the way they require us.
So it's just another example of the state of California making it harder to do business here, harder to start a project, and there's not a thing we can do about it here in our county to try to make things easier for people.
That's probably the essence of it, yes.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? This is a public hearing. I'll open the public hearing for item number A that has to do with these NPDES fees. Does anybody like to talk on this item? Morning.
Good morning. My name is David Pratt, and I live in Ceres. And I thought I was just going to be talking on a couple items, but I see there's a little more involved. And it seems like the federal government and the state come up with all these regulations stuff and then tells you that to take care of it, and then you guys got to be the bad guys. And it's hard, reading in the paper every day. Wonder why everybody's moving out of California. And it's just like, it's just getting harder to live here. That's all I want to comment on. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to comment on public hearing A? Seeing no one, will close the public hearing, bring it back to the board for action.
Okay, I guess I begrudgingly will make a motion. We approve this.
Okay. Motion by Withrow.
Second.
Second by Monty. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0.
Thank you.
Move to public hearing item B. Approval to introduce and waive the first reading of the ordinance to establish new and amend existing fees for Department of Environmental Resources. Good morning.
Good morning, Chairman O'Brien, members of the board, Ms. Nino, Council Doreen, Sonia Herigfeld, Director of Environmental Resources and Parks and Recreation. With me this morning is Jamie Eggers, and she'll be doing the presentation for the DER fees.
Good morning. See, it's been a while since I've done this. All right. Today we're asking you to consider new and amended fees to allow for first, the recovery of our operational costs at the Fink Road landfill to provide for future ash cell development also at the landfill, to assist in funding the post-closure costs associated with the Gear Road landfill, and to cover increased costs in insurance and retirement expenses. So today we're talking about new and amended fees specific to the landfill division. And by way of background, the landfill is operated as an enterprise fund, which is fully funded through tipping fees. We were last before you to consider amending fees for general use of the facility in 2001, for special handling fees, which included dead animal fees, in 2009, and the ash tipping fee in 2001. However, it was lowered at that time. The reason some of the specific user fees are proposed for changes today is that we have handling costs for several of our specialty items that exceed the current costs current fees that are being charged, or the fees are disproportionately low when compared to surrounding counties. We're proposing a new category of fees for appliances, and these would be strictly pass-through costs. The fees range from $5 on the low end for appliances such as dryers and water heaters, and on the high end, $15 each for air conditioners. And the reason for this is that we have to hire an outside agency to come on site and remove the oils, refrigerants, and switches, in particular mercury switches, from these appliances. Another new fee category that we're asking you to consider today is for mattresses. Mattresses are bulky, they're hard to handle, they don't compress well, and therefore they take up a disproportionate amount of valuable airspace. We have identified a mechanism where we can divert them from disposal, and that is at a cost of $8 each. So again, this is a straight pass-through cost. Some of our fees we refer to as price by the load, and we have one fee category that we're recommending a change to, and that is our passenger car, station wagon, SUV, minivan category, which currently and for many, many years has been a $5 minimum charge. And we are proposing to combine that with pickups, those with outside boards and full-size vans, for a minimum charge of $10. So we would have a single, basically passenger vehicle size category. Another category where we're proposing some changes is to our tire fees. For tires, we pay to divert them a flat price by the load. And we have calculated that we can maximize how many standard passenger size tires we can load into each trailer and basically meet our costs. What happens when we have to try to fit larger tires into the load? The loads become less evenly distributed, and we can no longer maximize the number of tires that we can basically fit in the trailers, and that begins to affect our cost. Given that, and also having done a survey with surrounding counties, we are proposing fee increases to several categories. First, the diesel truck size tire would increase from $5 each to $6.50. Tractor tires would increase from $7 to $10. We're proposing to add a new category for loader-sized tires, and that fee is proposed at $50 each. And the largest size earth mover tires, we're proposing an increase from $45 to $100 each. And that does seem extreme, but believe it or not, these fees are still lower than, and in some cases considerably lower than, surrounding counties. Other charges proposed to change. First, our ash tipping fee from the waste energy facility is currently at $16 per ton, and staff is recommending to increase that to $26 per ton. This is to cover our costs because it has not increased in so many years, and we need to have enough revenue generated to cover construction costs for the next ash sale. costs for the ash tipping fee also in part covers the post-closure costs associated with Gear Road landfill. For the category of normal refuse, no discounts are currently offered. This is a new concept that staff is recommending. And basically the way this would work is during periods of waste energy diversions only, and only to in-county jurisdictions, we would offer a $3 per ton discount for those jurisdictions that entered into a disposal agreement with the county. And again, this is it is a new concept. We're going to be going around meeting with these cities to talk about this possibility. It would allow the county to do better long-term planning if we knew we could count on a certain amount of waste coming to our facilities. And we're hoping that this would offer enough of incentive to them to curtail some of the waste exportation that currently takes place going to out-of-county facilities. Other charges also include our dead animal fees. Currently, we have a separate category for small versus large dead animals, and we're proposing to merge those, similar to what we're proposing with the passenger vehicles on our minimum charges. So we would combine small and large for a $30 each fee or $100 per ton for the larger loads. We're also proposing to add a category for dead horses at $50 each. In keeping with that, we're proposing to delete the three fee categories that currently exist that deal with small dead animals. To share the concepts we're proposing with the public, we held stakeholder meetings on March 14th. And no significant comments were received, so no changes were made based on any of the comments. The waste energy tipping fee will be addressed separately, as you know, because that's associated with the new service agreement that's being developed. Public notices were printed in the B on April 13th and April 19th, and proposed fees were posted on the department's website on March the 5th. The staff recommendation is to introduce and waive the first reading of an ordinance to establish new and amend existing fees for the Department of Environmental Resources, and if approved, we're proposing a July 1st effective date. And with that, we'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Are there any questions of staff? Supervisor DeMartini?
I had one, Mr. Chairman. On the tires that you have these new fees, can't any of these tires be recycled and sent somewhere else rather than just be buried in the landfill?
All of the tires that are collected at the waste or at the landfill are recycled. The only ones that would not be recycled is if something was buried in a load and it wasn't seen when it came in. But even if we see them when the loads are dumped, we pull them out, and all of those tires are recycled. We have a totally separate area where you can bring in the tires to drop them off.
And then this is just recovering our charges then from pulling them out and transporting somewhere else?
Yes, it's recovering our cost for the tires are stacked in the trailer, and we get charged by the trailer load, so it's to recover our cost to have those tires recycled.
Okay, thank you.
Supervisor Chiesa?
I'll follow up on that. We're lowering our fees from $1 for passenger cars, right, to zero? I mean, to free?
No.
Staying at
$1. Staying at?
It's staying at $1.
Okay. I don't know.
Correct.
Yeah.
It says on price by the load, tires with or without rims, motorcycle, car, pickup, nine or less, $1 each is the current fee amount, and then it goes to no charge. It says no charge on there.
It should say no change. No change.
It's getting harder.
It's that Houston High School education again. Okay, all right. So now, okay.
No,
that is That's the same thing. All right. So that explains it. All right. On to the next question. Why don't I feel like a dunce? On the dropping the fee from $33 to $30 on the diversion, I had asked, you know, what is going to stop everyone from claiming that they're going to divert over to forward landfill? How are you going to decipher when that becomes effect? Because it says only during periods when the waste is being diverted.
Right. And there are times when waste is delivered out to the waste energy plant, and either the pit's full or they're a little behind, and so we need to divert that waste from the waste energy facility to the landfill. And when that happens, only those jurisdictions which we have MOU agreements with, will they get the reduced fee. So when the truck drivers come in and from the franchise companies, they basically say this is a load from either from Modesto or Ceres or Turlock. And if that load gets diverted from the waste energy plant to the landfill and those jurisdictions have an MOU with us, then they will only be charged $30 a ton instead of $33 a ton.
Okay.
And the rationale behind this is we figure that differential between the $33 a ton and the $30 a ton is the difference between what it costs them to haul it to forward. So basically it'll cost them the same amount at $30 a ton to deliver it to the Fink Road landfill as opposed to, and their instead of taking it to forward landfill, which their cost is about $30 a ton.
Now I guess I would say if they're going to haul it to forward,
right?
Anyways, do you want the garbage or do you not want the garbage? Because if it was at $30, would it still incentivize them to bring it to our facility?
Yes, it would incentivize them to bring it to our facility, and that would be a part of the MOU agreement. And we're not looking for a lot more garbage. We're just looking for a little bit more garbage.
Yeah, because I see the mountains are growing quickly.
Mountains are growing very quickly at Mount Forward.
On the recycling credit, how does that work, recycling? How do the cities or the jurisdictions get credit for recycling?
Basically, on the tons delivered to the waste energy plant, you're eligible for a 10% diversion credit. However, you are limited based on, the maximum amount that you can get is a 10% diversion credit. So once you hit that 10% diversion credit limit, you don't get any more diversion credit for delivering the tons above that. So, and it's based on the total tons that each jurisdiction generates and disposes of on an annual basis.
All of the jurisdictions are meeting their 10%?
Yes.
Landfill?
They're delivering, all of the jurisdictions currently are delivering in excess of the 10% required to be delivered to the waste energy plant.
Okay.
Or pretty close.
Yeah.
We got a couple that are on the...
I have a follow-up question on the $3 a ton discount. I know the county has a very sophisticated formula to where any discounts or any changes, any costs that our haulers have gets filtered into the rates that our residents pay. But do the cities have that? If they get the $3 discount on the tipping fee, is that going to make its way back to the resident?
I cannot guarantee that. We have no control over how the respective jurisdictions set their fees. Most of those fees are negotiated between the cities and the franchise haulers.
Yeah, and usually they're for like a 5-year period. And so any discount that gets applied, I'm afraid that's not going to make it to the resident.
And we're embarking with the proposed new term sheet with Covanta. We're embarking on kind of a new era for us. So all of the jurisdictions are going to have to sit down with their franchise haulers. And hopefully when they do that, they will take, because these proposed fees are being adopted prior to us bringing our proposed waste energy tip fee to the board for approval as well as the contract. A lot of these mechanisms we're trying to get set in place so that the other jurisdictions can go back and at one time make all of those necessary adjustments when they go to set their new garbage rates.
But you're making sure the cities are aware of this discount.
We have been sitting down with the cities on, we've met with them several times beginning last fall, and in order to keep them up to speed on the negotiations on the waste energy facility with Covanta, as well as what we were looking at proposing for our new fees, both on the environmental resources side as well as the waste energy side.
Okay. All right. And then second issue or question on small animals. So a hamster would be $30 and a cow would be $30?
Chances are the hamster wouldn't even be picked up in garbage.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
Just real quick, back to the street element discount thing. I actually think this is a great thing. I think it's proactive for you guys doing this, and it's really going to help budgeting wise for us maybe to get more there and have a better idea of what it's going to be each year. So I kind of commend you guys on doing this. I think that's a good approach to try and get incentive for these people to have that there. The other thing, as you look through this, we're talking about fees, and nobody likes to increase fees, but for the majority, there is no. There's no charge. There's no change.
The majority,
there's no change. You know, to almost all of these, I know it's not a whole lot we're changing here. So anyway, I think when we talk about fees, we get all upset and think, geez, we're raising fees. But if you really look through here, there's just very few new fees and ones that we are changing. So.
And most of it's just we're just kind of trying to tweak it to make sure we're recovering our costs.
Exactly.
On just specialty items.
Right. We're not looking to make money on these things. We're just trying to cover our costs. So anyway, thanks, guys.
Supervisor Montique, any questions? Okay.
Well done.
This is a public hearing. I will open a public hearing and ask for anybody who wishes to speak on item B to come forward. Good morning.
Good morning. David Pratt, another series. I was going to complain about raising the rates, because every time you raise the rates, it seems like when I go for a bike ride, I see more stuff along the roadways, mattresses and tires and oil and stuff. But actually, these fees are cheaper than what I've paid at some places. You know, the bad thing is when people buy stuff out the door, they don't have in mind to recycle this stuff, and they're not willing to pay anything. But yeah, I wish I'd known the cheap on the mattress things, because when I called around, they're a way a lot more expensive to get rid of. Next time I'll call around. So actually, the fees aren't that. I'm not going to complain about the fees because they're not that high. But I just wanted to put in for the fact, like I see every time the fees do go up, I see more stuff along the roadways. So thank you.
Thank you. I'm just going to comment to that. To something I talked about, this about the mattresses. And I said, are we going to have more mattresses on the road? And I think what you end up, those mattresses are going to hit the road regardless of what the fees are. People that do that and throw these things on the side of the road, they're going to go there regardless of what the cost is. They're not driving out to take them out there. And so, because that was a concern, unfortunately, the people that do that aren't going to be affected by the fees one way or another.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, because electronics and hazardous waste, you can dump that for free. And I still see a lot of that stuff along the roadways. And it don't make sense on a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else wish to comment on item B? Seeing that, I'll bring it back to the board. Supervisor DeMartini.
Yes, I just wanted to mention that a lot of these fees, you know, haven't been raised since 2001, so it's been about 11 years for a lot of them, and a majority of them haven't changed at all. And we also have a policy in this county where we have the bulk item pickup, too, so, you know, instead of dumping your garbage out in my orchard, like a lot of people seem to like to do, you can get the bulk item pickup there right at your house with just calling ahead a few days. And for the people that do use it, they say it works very well.
Yeah, it is. That the bulky item collection program is available to all residents twice a year, and all they need to do is call the franchise hauler whoever the garbage collection company is and make an appointment.
All right. Anything else? I'm looking for a motion.
Motion to approve.
I have a motion by Chiesa.
Second.
Second by Monteith. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. Public hearing item C, approval to introduce and waive the first reading of the ordinance to establish new and amend existing fees for Department of Parks and Recreation.
All right. Good morning. Well, now we're going to talk about the Parks and Recreation Department. We've got a few recommendations for new and amended fees to our existing fee schedule. The Parks Department operates four, what we call four regional parks, Frank Rains, LaGrange, Modesto, and Woodward Reservoirs. Annually, these regional parks generate approximately $2 million for our operation and maintenance of these parks. In addition, both Frank Rains and LaGrange have been eligible for state operation and maintenance off-highway vehicle park grants, and those grants are available for operations and maintenance as well as special projects. In preparation for this year's proposed budget, we look at our cost to providing services and our associated fees, and during this evaluation, our proposed fees and revenue, we were estimating that we were going to be approximately about $60,000 short in order to balance our budget. Some of the increases that the Parks Department is seeing are related to our general liability insurance as well as our retirement expenses. We did raise the fees last year. However, the fees that were raised last year, the only fees that we're proposing to raise again this year are the waterfowl fees. And in our public meetings with our special interest groups, I promised the waterfowl hunters that we would not raise their fees for the next 2 years that their waterfowl fees would stay the same. Other fee changes are proposed are mostly related to merging the fees or making the fees simpler as far as our transactions that we make on a daily basis. The proposed fee structure continues to offer discounted rates for both the disabled persons as well as former POWs and seniors. Currently, our annual vessel vehicle fee is $75. We're proposing to raise that by $5 to make it $80 a year. A second annual pass, we're proposing to raise to $40 a year, and our senior disabled and POW pass, we're also proposing to raise $40 a year. Currently, our second vehicle at a campsite is 50% of the cost of camping, and for a full hookup, that's $12.50. Dealing with $12.50 is a little more difficult for my staff, so we're proposing that a second vehicle at any campsite be $10. So we're actually showing a reduction of $2.50 for full hookup and no change for our developed campsite. Currently, we offer annual deer, or currently we offer deer and wild pig hunting permits, and they're offered on a daily basis. What we're proposing is that we offer for those who frequently hunt up there, we're offering an annual permit. And we're not proposing any change to the day permit. I am proposing the waterfowl blind permit to go from $300 to $400. And then we're also proposing a new special hunt, a special hunting fee. And the department's been approached by some private organizations about possibly having or hosting some youth hunts. So what we wanted to do was propose this new fee. If adopted and if these nonprofit groups come forward, then the fee would already be in place. And so we haven't had a need for it, but we anticipate that there may be a need for it. We're also proposing the same changes on our off-highway vehicle park fees. This will this will keep the fees consistent with what we are off, or what the fees are being proposed for at the reservoirs. Currently, we have a $3 per day dog fee and a $2 per day horse fee, and we're proposing to combine those to a dog and horse fee of $3. In addition, we've had some issues come up, and we've also had some requests. And so with those, with the issue that came up is we've got people who, our day use fee is from sunrise to 10 p.m. And we have a lot of people who leave after 10 p.m. and basically there's no penalty for them doing that. So we're proposing that the late exit fee be a $10 fee, which would be consistent. That would mean that the $10 that they paid would be the same as a basically a developed campsite. We're also proposing a mooring fee for $100 a month, a dry storage fee at $35 a month, a rec hall deposit fee of $100. And that would be like a cleaning or use deposit that would be refundable. We also have a key deposit of $30. And then as a result of us hosting the National Retriever Trials last fall, there's been several hunt clubs that have come to us and have requested to use our facility for their competitive events. And the department has hosted under the special use fee the dachshund hunt test out at Woodward Reservoir, but there's also some of the retriever hunt clubs that would like to use Woodward Reservoir as their facility, and so we're proposing a couple of different fees. For 1 to 50 dogs, the fee would be $200 per day per competition, and for 51 dogs or more, it would be $300 per day for competition. Most of these competitions are a minimum of 2 days, and some of them are three. We're also proposing to eliminate some fees. These fees just don't get utilized, and so that's why we're the bus fees at $8. We don't have busloads of people coming out to our reservoirs. I guess years ago they did, but we don't see that now. and then we now have dollar fees as opposed to the 50% off. And then the youth group and foster youth group and parents camping at $10, we're also proposing to eliminate. The horse fee would go from $2 to $3, and then the annual pass fees are all being raised to $40. We hosted a stakeholders meeting on February 21st. There were no changes proposed made on those, or there were no changes. I have to learn the talking. there's no changes proposed based on the comments that we received at the stakeholders meeting. I also took these fee proposals to our Parks and Recreation Commission, and they approved them on March 8th. Public notices were printed in the Modesto Bee on April 13th and 19th. The proposed fees were also posted on the department's website on February 16th. Staff is recommending the introduction and waiving of the first reading of the ordinance to establish new and amended fees for the Department of Parks and Recreation. If approved, these fees would be effective June 8th.
Any questions or comments from the board? Seeing none, this is a public hearing. I will open the public hearing. Ask if anybody would like to speak on item C. Please come forward.
Dave Pratt, the series. I was going to complain about raising the rates on the local parks because I feel it hurts the low-income people more than anything, but I see there's a little more to it than just raising the fees. So, basically, that's all I have to say.
Very good. Thank you. Anybody else wish to comment on this item? Seeing nobody, we'll close the public hearing, bring it back to the board for action.
I'll move if there are no more discussions.
Motion by Monteith.
Second.
Second.
Second by Kiesa. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Moving on, we do have closed session today. County Council?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have a conference with legal counsel to discuss anticipated litigation. This will be held pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision C. Additionally, we have a closed session to have conference with legal counsel to discuss existing litigation involving two cases pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision A. The first case is Daniel Creshon et al. Versus Edward Northard et al., Stanislaus County Superior Court, case number 662676, and Forensic Consultants Medical Group, Inc., versus County of Stanislaus et al., Stanislaus County Superior Court, case number 626798. We do not expect report out on these matters.
This meeting is adjourned to closed session.